The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. This program will take you behind the scenes and deepen your understanding about the patterns and perspectives of leadership today. Now, here's your host, John Schmidt.
Well, hello again. Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Zoomed Leadership. I am your host, John Schmidt. And again today, as we've been doing every week, I'll be taking us out to the big picture, in to the up close and personal, and toward a world of desirable futures, those, as we say, that are rich with the essence of constant renewal. Well, I must say, it is a delight to be leading into the show. I'm actually really pleased and very excited about what we have going on today. I think it's a wonderful compliment to the shows that we've had, certainly around presence-centered leadership, but perhaps even a deeper underpinning to that than we have even been able to introduce to this point. But let me just get started. It has been almost 100 years since a man here in the U.S. created what I would say is a timeless piece of work, a timeless writing that served as the basis for many men and many women to truly manifest what I think all of us would think would be a fulfilling, happy, and abundant life, perhaps rich with a sense of service and contribution, rich with a sense of financial wealth, rich with a sense of positive impact in life. That man's name was Richard Hanel. Not necessarily a household name today, yet the likes of the people, I think, that have embraced his work include those, some that you've heard of before, Ernest Holmes, Napoleon Hill, many other authors and individuals through the present day today, including the creators of the film The Secret. You might actually recall the name Napoleon Hill, who is famous for his classic work, Think and Grow Rich, and I think he's widely regarded as the first author of a self-help book ever written. To me, Hanel's book was about what he called the master key system, and it is the means by which one can get everything one wants. Let me get that clear. Everything. Relationships, wealth, impact in the world, what we've been talking about on Zoom, the kinds of change that's coming and the influence and impact we can create, everything. Hanel's original writing over time, I think, has slipped away from active attention until our guest today, along with two marvelous co-creators, have brought Hanel's timeless thoughts back into the mainstream of our awareness. They've updated the language and made it current. They've broadened its base of understanding. They've fleshed out a clear set of practices and what I think can be quite a distinctive and important contribution to our lives in this era of extraordinary change. The new book just released and the film coming not too far behind, Tapping the Source, Using the Master Key System for Abundance and Happiness. And I am delighted to say my guest today is William Gladstone, who, along with Richard Greininger and John Selby, has authored Tapping the Source. Bill, just by way of introduction, has dedicated his writing, his film production, his agent efforts to the enhancement of the quality of life in others, which I think you'll find is a key theme in the book. He's author of the international bestseller, The Novel 12. He has founded the literary agency Waterside Productions, and he has represented many influential authors and contributors to the world that we have talked about here on Zoom. Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra, Donald Neil Walsh, Dr. Irvin Laszlo, Hunter Lovins, Chicken Soup for the Soul creator Mark Victor Hansen, and many, many more. I was introduced to Bill by two of our past distinguished Zoomed guests, Chip Duncan and David Martin, both who have stimulated great conversations with it, and I have every expectation of that. Bill, wonderful to have you on the show today.
Well, it's great to be on your show, and do want to thank Chip Duncan, who is in the film Tapping the Source, for introducing us. I think your show is exactly the audience that we wrote Tapping the Source for.
Well, I think that's wonderful, Bill, and I think that's really where we want to head today. But let me just go back here, because I think this is an interesting story, because I know you have written a lot about some of the themes and the thoughts in Tapping the Source before, but how did you get connected with the work, and how did you and John and Richard sort of coalesce around this? I think it's an interesting sense in and of itself.
Well, I think there's obviously different levels to answering the question. The simplest would be to call it synchronicity. Another could be that I've kind of always aligned myself with the universal mind, and so I was aligned and in the right place at the right time for this information to come to my attention and to be able to act on it. But in practical terms, I was actually just working on the trailer for my own novel, The 12, and I was introduced by Mark Victor Hansen to Richard Greninger, who was a specialist in creating trailers for books. And he created a trailer for The 12, and when it was done, he said, I want to come down and show it to you. And I said, well, you can just send it. You send it over the internet. And he says, well, it's only an hour drive from Newport down to Cardiff. Let me come down. And I said, oh, okay. So he came down and he showed it, and then he confessed the real reason he wanted to come down. He had a copy with him of Charles Hennell's Master Key System. And he said, Bill, I don't know if you know this about me, but, you know, I've known Mark for 20 years, and I've worked with Mark and Tony Robbins and just about everybody who's anybody in this whole, you know, self-development, human potential movement. And of all of these people, the one name that is always coming up is Charles Hennell. I said, well, who's Charles Hennell? He says, well, you've got to read this book, The Master Key System. It's got it all right there. And I said, okay. And he said, well, you know, I'm not a writer, so I'm going to need a writer to do a modern version of this book. Can you help? So I read the book. Happened to be, I didn't get around to it, actually, for about a month because I'm so busy, but I read it on a plane as I was going to Kauai for a vacation. And one of my friends over on Kauai is John Selby, who's a writer that I sometimes represent, but is really just more of a friend. He has another full-time agent. And as I read the Charles Hennell manuscript, I couldn't believe it. It was as if I had written it myself, because Charles Hennell was a businessman as I am. So he's a very practical person. He was born in St. Louis at the turn of the 19th to the 20th centuries, and he worked as a young man in a frying pan factory. He was very grounded. He was not wealthy at birth, and he read widely, and he read not just from, you know, from Western text, but also Eastern. So he had a background in Eastern teachings. And it was the combination of the two that he put together as the Master Key System. And he did not actually start publishing and promoting the Master Key System till he was in his late 30s and was already a major success. He ended up being a major pillar of St. Louis society. He owned cattle ranches and gold mines in California and Mexico, and he had business interests in St. Louis. And he really did produce the Master Key System as his way of giving back. If you read the book, you'll find out that receiving is directly related to giving. And he discovered that secret early on. So he was always giving, and this was just one more way he could give back. And then, as John mentioned in his introduction, Napoleon Hill was the first person to come upon Charles Hennell's Master Key System, and we actually reprint in the book Tapping the Source a letter that Napoleon Hill wrote to Charles Hennell in 1919, in which he basically says, everything of value in Think and Grow Rich was inspired and learned through your Master Key System. So when John and I met, I was very enthusiastic and wanted John to write the book. His first response was, Bill, I have two kids in college. I just got a major contract for another book. I'm almost 60. I'm really not interested in writing other people's books anymore. And I said, well, John, we've been friends a long time, and you're a master of meditation and stress reduction, and there's a sentence at the end of each of the lessons that says, now find a quiet place and sit and think on these thoughts. I think Charles Hennell was really asking people to meditate, but he didn't have the language. I think you're the perfect person. He said, well, look, I'll look at it, and maybe I can recommend someone, but I'm much too busy. Well, the next morning, 9 a.m., John calls me and says, I can't believe it. I've been teaching meditation. I learned, you know, stress reduction techniques. I've got degrees in psychology from Princeton. I really know my stuff. I've been hired by major corporations, and I can't believe that the secret to effectiveness for my meditation techniques was in Charles Hennell's book all along. Apparently, most meditation techniques focus on your head and your heart, which is good, but for grounding and manifestation, Charles Hennell pointed out that you really had to take it through the breath and into the solar plexus. So when John read that in the original Tapping the Source, he said, I'm in, and he immediately went to work writing Tapping the Source. And what he was able to do was to take the 24 lessons of Charles Hanel and boil them down to 7 focus phrases. So in today's world where everybody's in such a hurry and you probably don't have an hour to spend on each of 24 lessons, you can master the entire message of the book and the essence of what Charles Hanel was teaching in under 3 hours. And the actual daily commitment to the program is less than 5 minutes. It's that simple, and it actually works.
And Bill, you're really describing a wonderful distillation that Charles really brought together here from much of the best of the East into the realities of the West, sort of crossing that here. I know we've only got just a couple of minutes here, 2 or 3 minutes left in the first segment, but I'm wondering if you could just even describe the essence of it. You've described the focus phrases and the sense of it, but just the essence of it for our listeners to get a flavor and feel for the Master Key System.
Well, what Charles Hanel discovered, and I have to say, he didn't really discover it, he just rediscovered it, because it's been known in all major civilizations for, in some cases, thousands of years. And what he discovered was that in all civilizations, there is a technique that has been honored of going within and connecting to what Charles Hanel called universal mind. Depending upon your background, you might call it God, the intelligence that created the universe. I mean, it doesn't really matter what you call it. We call it the source. And if you find a way where you can tap into that source, you can then align your own life with the life of the universe itself, and you discover that you are part of a whole, that there is actually one unified consciousness on the entire planet, and that you individually have a role to play in manifesting this greater abundance and greater consciousness of the creation itself. And that is what the scientists today who are studying quantum physics and everything else are actually learning. Dr. Irvin Laszlo calls it the zero point, but there's now scientific evidence that confirms much of what Eastern religions were talking about, as well as what Charles Hanel was talking about.
I think that's a wonderful description that really gets the sense of it. And I'm wondering, you know, as we go on, maybe we can even talk a little bit more about when you say universal mind and when you use the words that other people we can insert in there, God and others. I'm wondering about the context of it and how our listeners might even understand this from a religious context and how it's different from a religious doctrine, sort
Very
of separate that.
Yes.
Because there's some underpinnings to this, Bill, that I think are really, really fabulous and important to recognize. And the context we've used on Zoomed is talking about this universal mind and tapping into that and really talking about and using the language of presence. And I think that's part of the language that John and you have interwoven into the book. But I hear
Very
the music
much.
In my ears here. Bill, let me take a short break,
okay.
Come back, because I'm really stimulated with where we can go with this. Listeners, come on back. We are talking about getting everything we want, having the kind of impact and the source and the means and the power and the dynamism to do that. That's part of our conversation today. Join Bill in just a moment. Thanks.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an ethical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? The way you view leadership? Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-8888. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind.
It's all Eric. Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Class is in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back today, Bill Gladstone, our guest, our conversation about tapping the source. It is about the master key system, about the practical possibilities we have in manifesting the best, the dynamism, the inner power of ourselves, how that plays out into the world we're living. Bill, I made the point, or at least started to point the direction before the break about this when we start talking about sort of a universal mind and the way we can get there. Can you make a distinction with what we're talking about from sort of a religious, sort of a doctrine? And context as well?
Absolutely. I mean, the difference is we're kind of the shortcut. I'm not knocking any world religions, and I think that they all have positive elements, but most of them developed over time a kind of hierarchical, you know, you have to go through the church or you have to go through the priest or you have to go through somebody to get to God. And what we're really suggesting is you can get there directly. And, you know, whether you call it God or you call it the intelligence of the universe or you call it coherence, there really is a unified field, if you will, and you're really part of it. And you can find out your role in this universal consciousness directly, and you find that by going within. And those are the techniques that Charles Hanel developed. And the really good news is it's not a selfish procedure. You go in so you can go out. This isn't about abstracting yourself from the world and becoming some meditating monk that is not interacting with your children and your spouse and your coworkers and your community and coaching Little League and doing all those things that are important. This is about doing them in a way in which you realize how important everything you do is, because everything is interconnected. And once you have that realization, you can still see how your church may play an important role, but you also start understanding how it's not limited just to people who share your exact religious belief. You can be in communion with everyone, no matter what part of the world they're in and no matter what their cultural or religious background.
And Bill, I think there's also a distinction to be made here that we're not just talking about each of us sitting around and projecting our ego ideals onto the world and say, how can I make that happen? How can I just have a big car? How can I just have myself be big and great in the world? There's a greater depth to it than that. Maybe you can speak to that.
Well, this is actually the main theme of our film, Tapping the Source. We went out and we interviewed over 100 of the most successful leaders in the world today, and not just from the world of books and sports, but scientists and political people, just people from all walks of life, artists, painters. And what we learned was that the highest good, the highest sense of joy, was from service to others. The second highest manifestation of joy is from a sense of gratitude. And it's really interesting that of all these people, many of whom are millionaires and billionaires, that was their highest sense of joy. And you didn't need to be a multimillionaire to give your gift. It wasn't about just giving money. Being of service to others can be very small. It can be listening to someone else. It can be smiling at people. But these were the elements that we found gave the greatest sense of joy. Now, of course, one of the things that's very important is you have to take care of your own needs. You have to have good health. You have to have a good roof over your head. You have to have work that you enjoy. Those elements are necessary. But once you satisfy what Maslow would call your basic hierarchy of survival needs, being part of something larger, being of service to the planet, if you will, ends up being the highest joy. Perhaps that's why people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, after they make their billions, spend most of the last part of their lives figuring out ways to utilize those resources for the benefit of others.
And maybe you can make this, just kind of give an example. I know that if I were a listener here, Bill, I'd be thinking, well, this is interesting, that what we're talking about from a broad context, but you spoke about the way that John Selby started to make this practical from the sense of focus, phrases, a means and a path to a point to the interior space, to get ourselves into an interior space, to be really then present and still within that space. Maybe you can just give an idea to our listeners about
this. Well, the very first focus phrase is focus enjoyably inward, and it sounds innocuous and, well, big deal. Well, it's actually the key point of everything. The actual state of creation is a state of joy. Life exists for the experience of joy. And you need to connect and realize that you're just being here is joyful in and of itself, no matter what is happening. Being alive is the greatest gift, being in a human body. And once you start there, then you find a way to create what John calls quiet the mind. And only then do you start asking, what do I want? What do I really want? Because so often we're distracted. The advertisements tell us we want this car, we want this kind of beer, and that's going to make us happy. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. But if it does make you happy, that's not necessarily the deep happiness. The deep happiness comes from realizing who you really are as both a human and spiritual being and satisfying that higher sense of purpose. And once you align with that, your material needs will be addressed, because there's no way you can be of service on the highest level if you yourself as a physical being are not having your own needs met. But it almost becomes unimportant. It just is automatic. And your real joy is focused on your sense of purpose and sense of giving to others. And when I say giving to others, it's as little as a mother giving to her child. I'm not talking about each one of us has to become, you know, Mother Teresa or something like that. I'm not talking about anything outside of our ordinary sense of doing right by others.
And so what I'm hearing then, Bill, is that the fundamental of this is shifting from this external gaze, which we are so fixated on and taking in and oriented by and influenced through in terms of the socialization and where we put our attention. It's shifting that gaze and our awareness to a much more of an inner alignment and inner attunement as a fundamental first step that John's really putting
forward. Absolutely. And what happens is once you realize that you're alive, that you really realize what that means, you are automatically in a place of gratitude. Now you can start looking at what are the issues for you today and what do you want to achieve today. But you've already won. You're already in a place of joy and gratitude. And starting from that point, you cannot be defeated no matter what challenges are in front of you today.
So in this stillness, and we've used the word presence, when you're present with this still place, allowing then the consciousness, this flow, this inner flow to start to manifest, out of that inner flow within us is beginning to come something. And maybe you can say some more about that. Is that when you're saying the source, is that what you're referring to out
of the...
Absolutely,
and it comes in different ways. We're all different. And one of the wonderful things about tapping the source is we have three totally different personalities. John has meditated for 30 years. Richard Greninger has filmed and listened to lectures for, you know, 30 years. I have been active as a business person. I meditated once or twice in my life, but that was never my way. It was through activity, and on some level, I was just blessed with being in the flow. When I was 22 years old, I went around the world making a film for Rod Serling, and I realized that the only way that film was going to happen was by turning it over to a higher sense of being. And we ended up creating the most successful film in the history of television at the time for a documentary. And it happened because I realized that I was just there to facilitate showing these images of Machu Picchu and the Nazca lines and these other wonderful, at the time, mysteries, because this was back in the 70s, to as large an audience as possible. And I let go of my own small fears and concerns about, you know, was I going to be able to pull this off? And I turned it over to a higher sense of purpose, and I got into the flow. That experience stayed with me, and years later when I started my own literary agency, the same principle was useful to me. I would have people come to me who I had never met, and within 5 minutes of meeting them, would get phone calls asking for the exact expertise of these people and be able to agent a book. This was related to technology, which was our specialty. But over 100 times this happened to me in the first 3 years of my agency. And I learned that being in the flow is something that not only exists, but something that you can create. And that's really what John is referring to. And there's different ways of doing it. You can do it by going into the stillness, but you can also do it through activity, and they complement each other. Eckhart and I have joked that we should really do a joint presentation someday, because Eckhart's all about going into the stillness, and I'm all about going into the activity, and we're perfect complements, because both ways will get you into the flow, or can get you into the flow.
Well, Mihaly wrote a wonderful book, The Psychology of Optimal Experience, and is really talking about just what you're describing in your orientation to activity, Bill, that athletes, performers, business people, all of us of all kinds can find that state in activity where we do find that flow or that presence is just emerging and dynamically unfolding. I hear that's what you're describing in that way for you.
Absolutely, particularly with athletes, the dynamic activity has stillness within it. And it seems impossible and paradoxical, but if you look at ball players, they will know where the ball's going before it's even hit or thrown. How is that possible? They're tapping into something.
They're tapping into something. They're attuned to a flow of presence, a consciousness. We've talked about it on Zoom, that out of that comes a brilliancy, a brilliance of insight, a brilliancy via manifestation. And what you're describing with sports, a flow of the body moving before the conscious ego mind can say, this is where we need to go. It's just a harmonic is what, what I'm hearing you describe.
Absolutely.
So, I know we've only got a couple of minutes here before break then, so there is the stillness, there's movement, but John describes the set of practices, and then let's just say we're in this stillness or we're in this flow state. What happens there? What is it that's emerging, Bill?
Well, what's emerging is your connection to your higher self. And once you connect to your higher self, you realize that your higher self is connected to all of creation, and that all of creation is at your beck and call. You actually have within your being access to all the power and energy of the entire universe. And once you realize that, obviously, you don't have this ability in a vacuum. You have to take it into the world, and you have to look at the elements in your actual environment and then start taking action. But once you realize that the potential of all this energy is within your grasp, it can totally change your own orientation, your own routine, and your own results.
So I'm hearing at the same time, Bill, sort of almost a fulcrum here of that part of this through the focus phrases, through an orientation to practice, and I'm sure at some point we effort our way into that to do that, but at the same time, that practice, that orientation to the practice is almost the fulcrum that allows and opens up a new form of manifestation, perhaps even grace. And that's where I'd like to continue the conversation as we go. Let's take a break, folks. I hear the music in our ears. Bill, join us when we come back in a minute and continue this marvelous discussion and talk more about the book, about the film that's coming, and about all that's included in it. Take a break. Come back. Thanks.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an epical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? the way you view leadership. Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-8888. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoom Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back today, tapping the source, our focus. Bill Gladstone, our guest, our focus is on the quality of our lives and impacting others. Bill, I started this conversation, or at least this notion, and maybe we don't want to go too far, but about this fulcrum of practice and grace, this diligent attention and manifestation. My personal experience is there's sort of a fulcrum there, but this is not, you know, everybody experiences this perhaps in a different way, do they not?
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the reasons I think Tapping the Source is really going to become a movement. That's one of the phrases on the movie. Is it a movie or is it a movement? Because we are all different, but there is something that unifies all of us. And that is a feeling, an energy that is palpable, that we are here for a reason. And once you feel that energy, and it's different for different people, the way that it's felt, but once you feel that, life is never the same again. You know that you're safe, ultimately. You know that your physical body is only the manifestation of your spirit, and that your spirit is eternal. You will actually have that experience. Now, not everyone is going to get that experience the first time they read the book or the first time they do a focused phrase, but millions of people are starting to have that experience, and some have had it through other more difficult experiences. I actually had my experience through a near-death experience where I literally almost died. Other people after 30 years of very intense meditation techniques. Other people through traumatic experiences and overcoming them. But with Tapping the Source, we can't guarantee you will have this very special experience just from the meditation, but we can guarantee that a majority of people who practice the techniques over a significant period of time will start changing their sense of who they are and why they're alive. And even if it's only minor, it will be, as you say, a fulcrum that can totally change their relationship to their immediate environment, to their families, to their co-workers, and to the way they view themselves. One of the most important things to realize that no matter what is happening to you, you are not a victim. And the film particularly goes into this in detail. We have some remarkable people who had incredible odds to overcome. A young woman who was raped, a man who was a musician who was in a car accident and lost an arm and a leg. And these people found a way to go within, and they're overcome those obstacles. And no matter what obstacles you have in your life, you can overcome them. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to achieve things that you want to achieve, but you will find a way to achieve what you can achieve with whatever limits and obstacles are facing you and be in a place of joy.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I think that what I would personally add to it from my own experience, Bill, is what you're pointing to and allowing the focus and people to turn that gaze from externally inwardly oriented, that in the nature of the presence and experiencing this conscious flow and this presence, that there is an amazing, beautiful thing that happens, and that is everything that we need is in that moment, that exactly what we need to unfold, either in manifestation or the realization of the potential we have, it's there. And if we stay and engage that presence, it brings all that to life. And I think that's a real distinction, and I think that's what you're pointing to in the book to some extent, are you not?
Absolutely. There is a state of grace that is always there, that is available to all of us in all moments, even in our darkest moments. And it doesn't mean the obstacles aren't there at the same time, but knowing that the grace is there and that your ability to access that grace in any second will totally change how you deal with whatever obstacles you may be facing. And when I'm talking about obstacles, I'm talking about everyday kinds of obstacles, paying your mortgage, you know, getting your kids into the school that you want, dealing with, you know, even the weeds that may be growing. I mean, you need a solution. You want your house to look good. I mean, everything is important. It's not just these big dramatic things. Obviously, you make a movie, we're going to focus on the dramatic things. But everybody, every day, is faced with challenges. What is comforting is to know that every day and every moment, you have the resources to overcome those challenges.
But I think that, Bill, it is the small and it is the large. And as we've been talking about here on Zoom, that we are living into an era of extraordinary change where we have a coalescing series of forces with large-scale systems and cultural sort of clashes. We have all kinds of things into a soup pot mix of dynamism here that has all kinds of unfolding potential and potentially shocks with it. I've got to imagine this is a pathway to really support the informed view that as leaders we can bring into our own communities, our organizations, and society at large. I wonder if you could speak to that just in
terms
of... Absolutely,
and I'm really thankful for the question because my own purpose is not so much to help an individual overcome their many challenges and just have a happier life. I'm glad that's kind of an inevitable symptom of following Tapping the Source and the ideas expressed in the book and the film. But, you know, I've funded something called planetchange.com, which is a place where people should go and post solutions they have for both community and national issues. But we are living in a moment of crisis as a world species, and we do have limited time. If we're going to change some of the negative energies that have come to dominate the structures of society, we have to start changing them now. And the change does start with each individual, which is why I really do think that Tapping the Source, both the book and the film, are a major contribution to starting this process and enhancing this process. The process is already going. We know that there's hundreds of thousands of organizations that are becoming aware and that are doing wonderful things and working on solving world problems. The more people that are receptive and aware that they have a major role to play, that no matter how small their individual world, if you want to call it the butterfly effect, just changing their own thought process, changing their own interactions is going to cumulatively, if this happens with billions of people over the next 5 to 10 years, it will create the field which will allow a total revolution, if you will, a total evolution of society, and we will actually inherit what great religious leaders have talked about of heaven on earth. We have the resources right now on this planet so that no one needs to be in lack. We have enough so that everyone can have clean water, everyone can have good education, everyone can have the absence of violence. Everyone can have opportunities to be creative and to be in joy. We have those resources right now, today. What we don't have is the awareness and the consciousness of how to change some of our structures, how to overcome some of our fears so that we can start being productive at the highest possible level.
So we come back now, I think, to where I was pointing in the beginning, to be practical, to understand some of the practices, some of the focal means of focusing attention and so forth. But what you're really describing, Bill, is a very practical orientation to our time, that given the nature and the complexity and the challenges of these problems, which are difficult to easily just put into this bucket or this bucket, they're so integrated, so much of a whole, as you're describing the world that we're living in and the consciousness that's infusing it, that really what you're pointing to is the underpinning source of the nature of the evolution of our consciousness that will fuel the problems in their resolution.
Absolutely. I mean, as my good friend Barbara Marx Hubbard and also Jack Canfield speak about in our film, conscious evolution is not a concept. It's a necessity and it's a reality. We are part of a larger consciousness, and it is evolving. And if we don't go with it, well, the consciousness will eventually evolve because it has infinite time and space, and the universe is vast. But in terms of experiencing it as a human species on this planet, well, we get this chance, and it's a miracle that we are alive on this planet at this time with the technology that has been created in the last 20 to 30 years. We are actually now, for the first time in the history of the world through the Internet, completely in communication with all information being available to all of us practically instantly. This is a huge quantum leap, and if we can take the positive of this and start connecting in more conscious ways, we can solve world problems. And we don't need to wait for our political leaders. We are the leaders. We can just, through our own actions, make a difference. And enough of these small differences, the leaders will start to become implementers of what we, in fact, have already collectively created. And that is the vision, which will allow this quantum leap, which has to happen, because if we don't have this quantum leap forward, the chaos of so many systems that are breaking down will drag down the entire planet, and that's not something we want.
And what you're really speaking to is what we've referred to on Zoomed as leader as verb, leadership as verb, not a noun, not in position, not in political leadership alone, that each of us can exercise that, but exercise that out of a flow of presence, contactfulness with the source and the flow and abundance. And that's a word that's interesting to me, and that's a word that seems to me pervades this conversation as well, Bill, the nature of abundance and how that really settles into this larger view and context. Can you say a little bit about that?
Absolutely.
We've only got a short break. We may have to bridge this into the next segment, but I'd love to get started on abundance in the sense
Well, there's different levels of abundance. Obviously, most of us think of abundance, we think of a lot of money and beautiful things, and there's plenty of that. We can produce beautiful things, and we can all have as much money as we need to satisfy our needs and our luxuries even. And Charles Sennell used to speak about that specifically. He felt everyone should have everything they want. Why not? However, the source of abundance is life itself. If you look at nature, it's constantly creating. There's no lack in nature. There's no lack in energy. That is the source of abundance. That is what universal mind is about. That is what tapping the source is about. The source is endless. Everything you can imagine is within your grasp. You just have to figure out a way to align yourself so this abundance manifests itself with you and through you, and so that you as a human being can enjoy it. But this whole idea of lack and scarcity is a man-made creation.
Well, it is, and I think that's part of the view that it's easy to get into in the doomer view when we look at the systems, we look at the challenges, it's easy to get there. That's part of what the view can be. It is a singular perspective. It's more full and rich when it's framed by the nature of the abundance, which allows us to work through it. Bill, last segment. Let's take a break. Come back in a minute. get some final thoughts, talk a little bit more about the film that's coming, about where to get the book, how to do that. Come back in a few minutes, folks. Last segment with Bill. Thanks.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an epical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? The way you view leadership. Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-8888. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific time, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, last segment today, Bill Gladstone, our guest, author, literary agent, film producer, I think generous, abundant one, bringing tapping the source to us. Bill, I have to just express it as we go into it, appreciation for the devotion to actually bringing this book alive and to our conversation, because I think it does live the abundance. But we were talking about that. Maybe that's a thread to continue here in terms of the abundance and the way it plays out in life, and maybe we can actually live that some into the film and what the nature of the film is about.
Well, the nature of the film is we interviewed over 100 world leaders, sports people, Olympic champions, writers, filmmakers, painters, philanthropists, very successful business people. And they all are expressing abundance and joy. And we wanted to get to the bottom. The basic question I ask all of these people is, what is your personal source of happiness, and how do you stay connected to that source on a daily basis? And we received answers that were amazing, and it was almost as if all 112 people were speaking with a single voice. And when we were making the film, we were given all kinds of advice by professional filmmakers. You have to have only 10 people that can be the major thought leaders of your film, and da-da-da-da. Well, that wasn't the case. What happened was that we did get all these people speaking from the source. And so there really is a level at which the source itself has produced this film, not us as filmmakers. One of the people we filmed was a famous artist named Rizzulli, who had been the subject of a Hollywood documentary film just about him. And after our interview, he said, "You know, the difference between the Hollywood crew that was in here a few months ago and your crew is that with the Hollywood film, the director was God. But with your film, God is the director." And there's a real sense in which this is not just, you know, a very flattering thing that he said, but something very true. The film itself was not even consciously created by us as a commercial enterprise. It was sort of an accident that happened, and it would take too long to go into all the synchronicities that led to the creation of the film. But the majority of people in this film were either initially personal friends and then friends of friends, and people, as they were in the interviews, something magical happened. We started talking about things that they didn't necessarily talk about on a regular basis. And at the end of each interview, people were so enthusiastic, they would call their closest associates and say, you've got to be in this film. So there's really something magical that happened in the film. And I would say that it is a doorway into joy and abundance just watching the film. And as we were talking at break, the real reason we've made this film is to start waking people up so that they know that it's safe to talk about what might be considered very intimate experiences. All of us have had moments, whether it's watching a sunset, being with someone we love, where we're aware that we're so much more than just the person that we present to the world on a daily basis. And once people realize that everyone has this same special divine spark, and fortunately we're able to get these very well-known people in some cases talking about their own private experiences, I think that the viewers of the film will realize that they are actually part of the film in the broadest sense, because what the film is a doorway into sharing what really makes human beings human and divine at the same time, and what each of us can do on a daily basis to ensure not just the greatest joy for ourselves, but the greatest joy for everyone in our environment and then for everyone in the world. There's no problem or obstacle that each individual cannot, in unison with others, overcome. I mean, we have people in the film who, you know, really have suffered as much individual challenge as anyone can imagine, and they've come out on the other side. And there is nothing unique about them other than their ability to tap into the source. And the ability to tap into the source is available to all of us all of the time. All the book Tapping the Source is a very specific, easy technique, so you can start that process. And the film Tapping the Source is designed to let you know that it's safe and okay to do this and to share your experiences with others. And just doing that is going to start making a huge difference in the world.
Well, it makes a huge difference. What I hear is two things. One is recognizing that there is a true nature to who we are, the conscious flow that is unfolding in every instant, but you are providing a practical means and technique to begin to access that, to come into contact with it, to allow that to become more clear in our understanding of what is needed in our lives and where we might go. But Bill, what you're describing here at the same time is you're making it okay in the film to have conversations, have experiences, to begin to connect with others about how this dynamic unfolding and the power of this might be used to shift the world in these extraordinary times. Wonderful combination.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, one of the early viewers of the film was actually the person who was responsible for the marketing of The Secret. And they looked at this film and they said, not only, well, I think, you know, this is the first film I've seen since The Secret that could reach that large of an audience, but after watching your film, I feel I have 100 new friends. Because that's really what it's about, getting to the depth of each of these people through the film and realizing that each of these people gave their gift, not because they have something to gain from being in our film, but because they have something they wanted to share that they thought would be of use to others. And it's that awareness that is going to start what we hope will be a positive domino effect, if you will, a chain reaction of goodness. And that's all that needs to happen for this world to overcome the many challenges we're facing and for the majority of us to be in a place of joy and abundance on an everyday basis.
Absolutely, Bill. And I think what you've done, and perhaps to maybe even distinguish it, this goes well beyond just sort of one of the threads that was so dominant in The Secret with the law of attraction. This is much more full and rich and embodied than that way and what you've brought to life here. And maybe you could just speak to that just for a moment.
I'm glad you mentioned the law of attraction, because Charles Snell was actually the clearest proponent of the law of attraction, and although The Secret mentions it, they don't go into it in the same depth that Charles Hanel did. And for Charles Hanel, the law of attraction was the law of love. It was the law that if you love and are giving positive energy to the universe, to others, to your environment, that positive energy, of course, is going to come back because like attracts like. But he was not saying it in the way that some of the people who have picked up The Secret have thought, oh, I'm going to imagine my Ferrari, and I'm going to imagine my house on the hill, and I'm going to get it because I'm thinking about it. That's not what the law of attraction is. It's about attracting the same energy that you give out. And that's why there's this link between service and receiving. There is no greater abundance than the abundance of giving. And in giving, you will receive. You may not receive exactly what you've imagined, but you're going to receive joy, and you're going to be happy.
And Bill, wonderful. I think it's been a great sense of giving, contribution, abundance. Where do people access the film? It opens this weekend, does it not?
It does. It opens. We have a grand premiere for anyone in the Los Angeles area at Agape International in Culver City at 8 p.m. this Friday. The film will be available online at www.tappingthesourcemovie.com for download starting Saturday. You can actually go to www.tappingthesourcemovie.com and order the DVD right now. We won't be shipping until Saturday. It's at the duplicators now. And you can, of course, go to www.tappingthesourcebook.com. And order the book. It's available at Barnes & Noble and all fine bookstores. It's available on Amazon. And I do hope the majority of listeners will give the film a good chance. You can go immediately and see the trailer. It's really an enjoyable experience. It's very inspiring. And I've now seen the film a dozen times myself. And every time I see it, I learn something new because it's really a wealth of information, more than you can really absorb.
Bill, what a delight. Appreciate it. We love it. Look forward to the film. I love the book myself. I think it's wonderful. It's a part of our conversation here on Zoomed. Presence-centered leadership is infused with the depth, the interior dimension of dynamism, of brilliancy, of the absolute fullness and the abundance that can manifest. Bill, thanks again for joining us. We look forward to continuing the conversation after we've seen the film.
Thank you so much. I'll be happy to come back.
Okay, sounds great. Listeners, again, a pleasure to be on. Enjoy, as I say, each week. And just in the words of Rumi, one of my favorite poems, "The breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep." Enjoy. Have a great week. Don't go back to sleep, folks. It's time for us to awaken and be alive. Thanks again, Bill. Enjoyed it. See you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to Zoomed Leadership with host John Schmidt. Please be sure to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. And have a terrific week.